Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we've got us a convoy.
So there we go.
It is time for Rod Hanafy, who is the president of the National Road Freighters Association. Lots of questions for you this morning, Rod Hanafy. Good morning to you, buddy. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm very, very good. You safely tucked away in Dubbo. Are you out of lockdown yet or not? Did you hear about Cowra?
No, I didn't, mate. And we're still in lockdown at this stage. They keep extending it as they do elsewhere, of course.
Cowra, one case of COVID from a 9-year-old boy. Whole town shut down midnight last night.
It's a bugger of a stuff.
It is a bugger of a stuff. Rod, what's your news for the week? I've got plenty of people online wanting to have a talk to you. I had a caller from Rob, who's a regular here on the night shift. Rob came out with a huge statement. He said that what's the point in buying a new truck today when by the time you go to sell it, it will be worth nothing because electric trucks will be running around the country in 10, 15 years' time. Your thoughts on that comment?
Well, mate, that's a big claim. Most blokes buy them and have them over 5 years. So in 5 years' time, a $400,000 new Kenworth is probably still going to be worth a couple of $100,000, depending on how you treat it. Electric trucks have got a fair way to go yet, I think, mate, before they take over. And we haven't got the recharging in place yet. Yes, in some places they might work really well, but geez, there's a long way to go to get them to go to Perth and Darwin yet, mate.
So Rob reckons 10, 15 years electric trucks will be the go. You're saying no way? Is that what's the industry saying?
Look, it suits certainly short haul. You know, for trucks that run around the city where you can plug them in at night, do your deliveries during the day, they don't go far, you plug them back in again at night, that's going to work really well. And in theory, that's going to be good for the environment. But for long distance trucks, that there's still a way to go and you've got a lot of infrastructure to be put in place for them yet. So, look, 10 or 15 years is one thing. To say the truck you buy today is worth nothing in 5 years, that's the problem. I see that. That's not going to go that fast. But, geez, the way technology is, mate, you've got a bloody run to keep up, haven't you?
Yeah, I have indeed. So we'll talk more about that this morning. The other caller that we had just before the break was Dave, who is a truckie, and he's in New South Wales, but he has to cross borders. He says that he has until the end of September, which we are now at the 21st, he's got to be fully vaccinated in order to keep his job. He's pissed off that taxi drivers and Uber drivers don't have the same conditions put on them. What can you tell us about compulsory or mandatory vaccination for truckies?
It's mandatory by default. They can't make you have it to cross the border. But if you haven't got it, well, then they're not going to let you cross borders interstate. So their answer to that is, well, if you don't want to do the job, you can work local or you can work within the state. But, of course, for blokes that are set up to run interstate, that's not going to work for them. So it's mandatory by default. They can't make you have it. But if you want to keep your job and you want to keep the job you're doing now, you're going to have it because the states are saying that if you don't have it, you don't get to cross the border.
Well, so it is mandatory. If you want to hold on to your job, it is mandatory by default. If you're a truck driver and you can, is that for any truckie in any state?
Not as yet. It depends on where you live and where you're going. So Western Australia is a bloody big place. You can operate within WA and run up and down the coast as much as you like at this stage. But if you want to go into WA, if you want to go through South Australia to get there, even living in New South Wales as I do, if you want to go in Victoria, I think it's the 23rd of this month, you've got to have at least proof of one jab. But the other thing is, mate, it's still the testing. Now, I had a bloke put up a complaint there the other day. Because of the delays in the results, he's virtually having to get tested every 2 days. So that by the time he gets to the next border, he's got a result from the time before that.
Yeah.
And it's just making it near impossible to do the job.
Your microphone has just dipped down past your face. I can see that. Just move your microphone up a little bit in front of your mouth. There you go. Your slip. Your slip. Your there it is. Your slip was showing. Okay. Now stop touching it, and the microphone as well. 133353 is the telephone number. Rod Hanafy is here, president of the Road Freighters Association of Australia. You've got a question. If there's something you think Rod needs to know, this is your chance to talk to him directly. Colin's online for you, Rod.
Yeah, Rod. G'day, mate. You speak there before about electric trucks and diesel trucks and hydrogen. I saw a story, mm-hmm. a guy from Harry's Garage interviewed Lord Bamford from JCB Engineering in England, and they are making hydrogen composite engines. They add a module on the top that substitutes for the old injectors on diesel, because they found that the cost of running electric engines, even into the future, on trucks and heavy machinery for long distance or long haul use or long duration use, like, you know, excavators on building sites, it's at up to 6 to 10 times the cost of the purchase price. And they said it's just not viable for any industry to do that.
Really?
And fuel cells are not viable either, because you have to keep taking the fuel cell out and swapping it over when it wears out. And they are very expensive as well. But this mob JCB, you know, they make excavators and that. There's a video on YouTube, Lord Bamford, they interview him. He runs the chairman of JCB, and they've developed this converter that goes on top of a diesel engine, and it runs on hydrogen. And this is the only viable way. And that's something that the government here is pushing for hydrogen to be developed in Australia, because it just ain't going to cut it for long haul and heavy machinery use. And same with, you think about things like shipping too. You mean, how are you going to charge a ship that goes across the ocean? It's not going to happen, you know?
Yeah, as I say, for short haul, for things like that where you can charge overnight, it's going to work. It's going to work for your car. You drive around the corner, you come back, you plug it in. But for interstate transport, we've got a long way to go. Hydrogen has been spoken of, but they haven't found the perfect answer yet. It may well be that it fills the gap with interstate for hydrogen, but diesel's still going to be around for a little while yet.
Yeah, you look at that video. I mean, if they can get the infrastructure in places around the countryside, because the sheer size of the battery needed for a truck to go across country, even if you swapped it out, it's just not viable. You couldn't, it would weigh, add probably three, you know, a third of the weight on top of the existing truck. It couldn't do it, you know. It's good for buses and things that go between stations, as you said, between different locations, and they're fixed. It can recharge overnight. They can swap a different bus, but you can't do that with trucks, not to that extent. And the other question, the other thing I wanted to put out to you, was what the other guy said about not being tested and for vaccines and all that sort of stuff. I would assume that the biggest risk for trucking is when they go back to the freight centre, where they meet with other truck drivers, where there's air conditioning, where there's storage, and the spread from that point. So it acts like a node for spreading it to other locations. So I think that's why they're a bit, you know, sensitive about trucking more so than a cabbies, because cabbies might meet at a petrol station or somewhere occasionally, but they don't meet into a building that's enclosed with all that.
Yeah, but the taxi drivers have got passengers sitting either next to them or right behind them. I mean, even if they wear a mask, I mean, the taxi driver, their job is to carry people within an enclosed, confined space. A truckie's travelling thousands of miles on his own.
Yeah, I know, but that's not. Right. I think it's more about the meeting at the hub and then spreading from there. Because in a cab, the guy usually, well, they're supposed to drive with the windows down, unless it's pissing down rain under these new conditions, and also I think they're not supposed to go and meet at hubs like they used to.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the risk, reducing the risk of dispersion.
Well, I want to hear from cabbies and Uber drivers this morning from all states around Australia. What are your rules? And has your taxi company, has Uber, has your boss said you need to be vaccinated if you want to hang on to your job? Are you joining the long queue of mandatory vaccinations in order to hang on to your employment? And I'll say it once again, Rod Hanafy, a truck driver has no one, unless you're a two-up driver, has no one in the cabin with you for thousands of miles. A taxi driver, the very nature of their business is to carry people in a confined space in close proximity to the driver. Your thoughts, Rod?
And 30 or 40 different ones per day. And we're not going to meet those people normally in a situation. And there's a lot of blokes have been saying we are probably far more at risk when we are going to get tested, because you're going to get tested with people who are also turning up for testing. Now, if it's a truckie's only site, well, then that's all you're going to deal with. But if you're going to a public site to get testing, you're the person in front of you could have had the disease and you don't know. They've been in there tested and they're there for a reason. They don't go there for fun. Whereas virtually, we have to, because we've got to do it every 2 or 3 days to get across a border.
There's got to be a quicker way to do it. There must be a quicker way to do it. Or do you think this will be relaxed, Rod Hanafy, when all the states get to 80% vaccination?
Look, there's so much talk of how it's going to change, but then there's a new strain. There's all these other things coming on, Luke. And I think the biggest problem is going to be, one, that we were so far behind. We were left out. We haven't been made essential. But two, look, I've had so many blokes saying they're to the point of either exhaustion or they're simply over it. They're ready to walk away. There's so many things put in place now to virtually stop you doing your job. Each one of them takes time. Each one of them takes more time out of your day, more time out of your sleep, and it happens 2 or 3 times a week. And that's where we put up that 6-point plan. We're saying that we'll accept 7-day testing. We think that that's reasonable. We can show that of the millions of kilometres and trips that we've done while this has been on, we've had, yes, a handful of people involved. But because of the isolated lifestyle, we're not the ones carrying it. And what's going to happen, Luke, the concern we have for the future is there's going to be all these impacts on drivers that have struggled for the job. There is no capacity left in our industry if drivers start walking away. I've had a couple of drivers say, look, I've already looked into either getting rid of my truck or getting out of this industry altogether.
Wow.
And while people went berserk and went and bought all the toilet paper in the first 2 weeks when they found they were in lockdown, when we can't replace that, like we managed to refill all the shelves and we've done a really good job, but when it gets to that point of failure of our system, then people are really going to understand how much they miss us, and then it's going to be too late.
Rod Hanafy is the president of the National Road Freighters Association. You have an issue for Rod. Take it up with him here right now, 133353. Rod, what's your question for our road buddies out there this morning?
Mate, we have a lot of new drivers who've come onto the road. We know that there is an issue with a driver shortage, and we've got a lot of overseas drivers. Now, some of them have come here with experience. We've discussed the issue of them getting a license when perhaps they haven't been tested to the same standard. But they're out there on the road, and we've got to find a way to share the road with them. There is certainly some angst from their part. They feel isolated and perhaps a little bit ignored on the road. They're probably not confident to talk on the UHF. And then some of our blokes, of course, don't make it any easier. Now, it's not their fault they're here doing the job no one else will. We can argue about pay and all those sorts of things and the lifestyle that we lead, but we have people coming from other countries here to do the job. We have to accept them. We have to encourage them, and we have to make sure, one, that they're trained and tested, but we also want them to do the job properly. Now, the question is, are you happy that other people are coming, and have you actually helped one of them? Or have you given them a hard time without fair reason?
All right, let's have a talk about it. There's lots to go with this morning, folks. 133353. You're listening to The Night Shift around Australia on the Triple M network. The commitments here on The Night Shift, Tuesday morning, September 21. It is Rod Hanafy morning. It's Tuesday. Rod is the president of the National Road Freighters Association. You got a question for Rod. He's happy to talk to you. There's plenty of people online. Those people online, just stay there. We'll be with you in a sec. Rod, you introduced us here on The Night Shift to highway advocates. They are advertisers on my program now. but they provide a fantastic service on Thursdays when Robert Bell, who was a paralegal, but he's studying law now, but Robert Bell is an ex-truckie. And you introduced us to Robert Bell and Highway Advocates. When was it? Do you reckon it was about 3 or 4 months ago?
Something like that, mate. And I'd known Robert for quite some time. We'd discussed things on the road. He actually got an excellent phone call from a representative of one of the insurance companies had seen and heard him involved in an incident on the road where he'd sort of tried to get a truckie to do the right thing. Now, you know, we've discussed the pressures of the job. But he certainly got a good recommendation for that. He's been through a couple of companies out there and had some issues with them. And, of course, he's now got to that point where he's out there helping drivers in a situation where virtually you're on your own. It's very hard to get good advice and advice that recognises the industry and what we go through. So the service they're providing is certainly welcomed, and they've helped a lot of drivers so far.
They have indeed, and he's partnered up with solicitor and lawyer Adam Cockayne, and together they are Highway Advocates. So if you've got a fine, you have three options. You can fight it, you can pay for it, or you can talk to the team at Highway Advocates. They help truckies avoid fines. They help truckies avoid demerit points and convictions, because it's your livelihood you're talking about, folks. Highway Advocates, they can appear on your behalf in any court, anywhere in Australia. From Queensland to Western Australia, doesn't matter. Find out more. Highwayadvocates.com.au. And Robert Bell and Adam will be with me on Thursday morning at about this time. Happy to take your calls. Highway Advocates. Robert was telling me last week, I said, what's the biggest advice you can give the truckies who are in trouble? He said, do not wait for a knock on the door.
The other thing is, when you get a ticket in the mail, you have 21 days in which to respond. So that's the time frame you've got to decide what you want to do to make that decision. Get on to the boys, because if you ask for a review, and sometimes that's an avenue they can also take, is seek a review of the penalty if it is simply blatantly incorrect what they fined you for or something like that. You can seek a review within that period. And as long as you apply for that, the fine goes into abeyance. So you don't pay the fine. As soon as you pay it, you're admitting guilt. Then you've got no avenue left to follow up. But if you seek a review, that holds that in abeyance until they come back and give you an answer. And then, of course, you have to make the decision if you either want to pay it or go to court. And that gives them time to do the research, do the backup, and come up with a solution, hopefully, to your problem if what you've done is not fair and reasonable.
Highwayadvocates.com.au. Look them up, give them a ring, leave a message, they'll get back to you. And the first consultation is free. Free. Highwayadvocates.com.au. Shane's online for you, Rod.
G'day, Rod. How you going, Luke?
Morning, Shane.
Good mate, just a real quick question for you, buddy. I did my first load into Woolworths on Sunday night. Our company wasn't notified. We got there, we had to do a COVID test, and it seems to be from here on into maybe Christmas, we've got to get a COVID test every single day. I card there 5 days a week, plus the three tests every third day we've got to get a test. So that works out to be two tests a day, twice a week, so seven tests a week, just to be able to, go about my job. So, that's a fair bit to ask for. You know, I just don't know whether they can get away with it or not. But I want to apply, do the right thing. But it's a big ask.
It is, mate. And look, we National Road Freighters had a board meeting earlier tonight. It's come up that not only has Woolworths instituted a new system that requires you to have an app, and you've got to provide your data to make their system work. I believe Coles now have a new system as well. And we are helping both of those facilities with our data and our time and yet they don't recognise ours. What you say about the testing is, yes, it adds more time again. We know that DCs are not really good at turning you around, and we are looking to put a solution out. We're looking at adding an extra point onto our plan, and I do have something coming up perhaps in a week or so. We'll be able to discuss it, mate. But if you keep an eye out on the National Road Freighters website and on the Facebook page particularly, what we will be aiming to ask in the next couple of days is for drivers to nominate how long they're at sites. We don't want your name, we don't want you getting in trouble or your boss, but we're going to ask in the next couple of days what site you went to, how long you were on site, because we've got to build up a bit of a database of time. Once we've got that, we hope to act even further, mate.
Yeah, no worries. You answered my question anyway, because I was wondering whether that's still, if I'm doing that test every day, whether I've still got to do our test. So, yeah, obviously we do. But another thing is, too, yeah, like this, because of the COVID and everything, this particular Woolworths has taken on Sydney and Canberra work, and we can drive in there at 2:30 and not drive out to 5 o'clock, but there might be only three docks available. And I did see guys turning up only 10 minutes after me, so say quarter to 3 in the morning, and they weren't getting onto a dock till 5 o'clock in the morning. So, things are a bit tough at the moment. So, and just the other thing with them electric vehicles, it's all right for people to point fingers and say, oh, it's good for the environment and everything else. Yes, it is, but, I mean, most of us truck drivers have been doing it 15, 20 years. Unless there's a tape recording in there of an exhaust pipe and a bit of air leak, I'd fall asleep driving one of them, mate, so it wouldn't be for me. So who are they going to get to do it? They need to skip straight to vehicles that are drive by themselves, because you'll be a shortage of truck drivers. Well, you know there already is.
Yep.
All right, mate. Great comment, Shane. Good question. And Shane, keep on trucking and drive safely, okay?
Driving best. Thanks, mate.
Good on you, buddy. 133353 is the telephone number. Quick break. Be back. Those callers on hold. Stay where you are. Okay, let's get through some calls. Lots of people have been waiting on. Warren, good morning. Rod's listening to you, buddy.
Bone, how's your plums? Hope Rod's are well too.
We're all very, very good, mate. Thanks, because we water them with Swift Grow. Now, what's your question for Rod?
Well, Rod, I'll make a statement. You tell me whether I'm half right or not. Now, Boner, on Thursday morning last week, you said, I don't understand how BFM makes you a better driver. Right? Now, BFM does not make you a better driver. BFM's a course that is run by a trainer. It's not just an online course. It has to be done in front of a trainer. Right? And it's a course where you answer questions, and there's no right or wrong answer. Now, if you answer something and it's not right, the trainer will explain it to you. Now, what BFM does, all it does is make you recognise the signs of fatigue and how to combat fatigue, and it explains how to live a healthy lifestyle in order to combat fatigue, and that's all it does. It doesn't make you a better driver. Am I right or wrong, Rod?
Mate, what it does, it provides you with more flexibility over standard hours. Yes, you have to do a course. There's a lot of people that say, realistically, does it teach you anything you don't know? And that is, if you're tired, you pull up. You have to manage your own fatigue. Everybody's different. It is hard sometimes to justify the cost of the course. And if you go the other way, a lot of people say that every driver should do it, not just those that are on BFM. Even those on standard hours should be given that information, should be given knowledge about managing their fatigue, how diet affects what you do on the road. And, of course, we all know about car drivers who don't do the hours and the miles that we do and think they can jump in a car Friday night and drive all night. And having not done it before, they get tired too and they can fall asleep.
Yeah, but regardless of that, that's basically what the course is all about. It teaches you to recognise the signs of the starters. And, yeah, it gives you an extra couple of hours. I realise that. I understand how it works. Luke's had my logbook in front of me. I sent my logbook to Luke. He looked at it. It's confusing completely.
I didn't get it, but I'm not that smart. But Warren, Simon also looked at it, because it must have been a Friday. Simon Stevenson, he got it straight away. So I think it depends on the sort of brain you have.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it basically teaches you to recognise the effects of fatigue and how to recognise it, how to deal with it. And yeah, it basically tells you the obvious, and yeah, probably every driver should do it.
Now, so is it really effective? I wasn't being a smartass. I couldn't understand how a course can get you extra time behind the wheel.
Well, it doesn't. It gives you extra time behind the wheel, but it's just an awareness program more right. than anything. And you have, in order to get that certificate of attainment, I think it's called now, you have to do it in front of a trainer, and the trainer has to sign off, whether it's a trainer of a company or someone like Kelsey's there at St Mary's. Rod probably knows Kelsey's at St Mary's in Glad. Now, one other thing, Rod, the Queensland government does recognise freight drivers and handlers and all that as essential. So on their government website, if you go on there, it actually recognises you as essential and gives you priority. So that's the Queensland government. I don't know about the rest of the states, but the Queensland government does, because I went for a test today and they said, what do you do? And I told them, they said, okay, we'll give it priority. But also on the government website, when you book in for vaccination, it gives you priority because you're a freight worker, a driver.
Yes. But the whole industry has to be recognised as essential, not just in one state, and it was done too late, and now we're trying to catch up for vaccinations, and because everybody else is doing tests, yes, you should certainly tell them you're a freight driver because you will get priority in results. But, mate, I'm sure you've heard of some blokes that get an answer back the next morning and others are waiting for it 2 days later, and that's no good when you go across the border.
Yeah, I realise that. But, it's really not that hard. It's not that hard to get a vaccination either. My missus are doing it now, and especially in Queensland. Now, Luke, that fella Dave that rang earlier, he wasn't from Victoria. He was from Queensland. He said he was vaccinated. It's not that hard to get a vaccination in Queensland. So anyone down there, they're just got to walk into a chemist these days.
Yeah, his frustration was he's been told he has to be double vaccinated by the end of September. What he said was his first one. Anyway, September, I heard him say September, and he's frustrated that taxi drivers and Uber drivers don't have to.
Well, mate, it's just the way it is. You've just got to live with it. It's simple as that. It's not that hard, really. I don't see why people are saying so much thing. Like, worst case scenario, if you can't take the truck, jump in a cab, you claim it on your tax, you get it back. As simple as that. Jump in a bloody cab.
Yeah, good on you, Warren. Did you hear from your old mate?
No, mate. I have no idea where he is.
Okay, just quickly. Warren's been looking for... He was the best man at your first wedding. What? How many years ago?
Oh, 27 years ago, but I've known him all my life, mate. I used to play in the playpen with him when I was a toddler.
And he's trying to find him. Okay, Warren, what's his name again?
Paul Auer. As in the word hour, and it's spelled A-U-E-R, and his wife's name, Kerri-Anne.
Paul.
His brother's
Auer. Spell it.
A-U-E-R.
A-U-E-R.
It's a very common name. Yeah, it's a very common name. And his wife's name's Kerri-Anne.
Okay. Anyone know of Paul? How old would he be now?
Oh, he's my age. He's 58, 59, and he was formerly of Picton.
And last time you spoke to him, what did he do for a living?
He was working for Volvo there at
that's right.
In the warehouse there at Minto, in the parts warehouse.
Yeah, okay.
Buying all the trucks.
And he's gone to ground. And you'd like to catch up because he's an old mate. He was your best man 27 years ago at your first wedding. And maybe the marriage lasted in such disaster he feels responsible. I don't know.
No, I'm just worried, mate, because he had a heart condition. I'm just worried about
okay, himself. Okay, no, I was joking. Paul Auer, A-U-E-R. He'd be 58, 59 years of age now. Warren's looking for him. Contact Jess and we'll put these two guys together. I'll keep trying for you, Warren.
Thanks, mate.
Okay, mate. You take care of yourself. 133353 is the telephone number. We're off to Cairns. Peter, you got a question for Rod Hanafy. Good morning.
Hey, Luke. Hey, Rod.
Good. Rod's Luke, listening. What's up?
Well, Luke, I spoke to you probably a month ago. I answered a question about Frank Zappa's guitar.
Oh, okay. Anyway, we're talking to Rod Hanafy now. What's the question, Pete?
Rod, my goods... coming up from Sydney, they've been turned back twice to try and get to Cairns. They've been told that they almost got to here and they were turned back because the policeman said by the time you get to Cairns, your COVID test will have expired, so they sent him all the way back to the Sunshine Coast and never been told they have to now go back into New South Wales. I've been waiting for all my worldly possessions to come to Cairns. I'm sitting in my home with nothing in it at all. Is there any chance that the laws will be rectified that I will get to see my furniture eventually?
How much are we talking about everything you own?
Yes, plus I have...
And how long have you been waiting?
It left Sydney on the 25th of August.
Rod Hannafy, any question? Any answers here?
Well, mate, of course, initially he said freight, and I thought that he was a business, but now he's understanding we're talking about removalists. So you know that they've had far stricter controls placed on them because of what happened with a couple of blokes previously. In the meetings that I take part in with Department of Transport in Victoria, the removalists are in there asking for a fair go. They're still workers like us. They say that particularly if you are doing stuff that you've put into storage or something, they don't deal with the public, but if it's your furniture, they're going to have to deliver it to your house and have contact with you. I'd certainly go to the Freight Removalists Association, mate. I think it's the AFRA, Australian Freight Removalists Association. I'd be talking to them, the customers or the company that you're dealing with. They should have some answer. But all of these issues that we deal with now, and in those meetings with Department of Transport, the people from the health department are the ones that are making the rules. Now, we understand COVID's there. We understand they're trying to protect us. We understand all of those things. But as you see in your particular position, mate, they've ignored some of these little things. And unfortunately, in protecting us, other people are getting hurt. So I'd suggest you try those two avenues, mate, and that's probably the best place to start.
Okay, thanks for that. And hopefully I can ring you someday, Luke, and tell you I've got my furniture.
Oh, wow. That's unbelievable. Hopefully it'll arrive soon. Good on you, Peter. Thanks for your call. You want to talk to Rod Hannafy, 133353. Nick's there. G'day, Nick.
How are you guys?
Good. What's your question for Rod?
Oh, just Rod was asking the question earlier about international drivers and sometimes having difficulty communicating with them on the road and interacting with them on the road.
Yep. And what's your thoughts, mate?
Oh, my thoughts are... something my grandfather had said to me years ago, you know, don't judge the actor, judge the act, because in regards to that, you know, some people aren't aware of what they're doing and don't know that they're doing the wrong thing or being difficult in people perceive that they're being difficult. So, yeah, and it is frustrating when you do call them up on the radio to get them around you if you're in a slower vehicle and you don't get any response from them.
But some of them have been abused too, mate. Like, none of us likes being treated badly. They're trying to look after their families as we do. All we are asking is that they are trained to the same level. I don't think that's unreasonable. But then, you know, we've got a responsibility to give anyone a fair go and to treat them fairly on the road and hope that they would then treat us the same.
No, exactly right, mate. I agree with you. Just adding to that, yeah, a lot of guys on the radio, like, give them a hard time because, like you say, they're a bit... not so willing to talk over the radio because maybe they don't speak as fluently and they're a bit unclear in their messaging. But, I think it would be best for everyone if we just gave them a bit of a break and a bit of a hand, and in time, you know, that will help everyone out on the road.
I think so, mate. Yep.
Yep, good thought. Thank you, Nick.
Okay, guys, have a good one.
Good on you, Nick. Yeah, no, thank you. 133353. Rod Hannafy, you've been using your Swift Grow. Now, Rod lives in Dubbo, where the soil is pretty harsh. If it's native, it grows okay. But it's this clay, thick, red soil that is pretty, pretty harsh. And, Rod, you've been using your Swift Grow. And tell me what's happened.
Well, mate, I've got a section with fruit trees in it, and I'd been looking after them as you do, try and water them. I had put a little bit of fertilizer on them a while ago, but mate, since you gave me the Swift Grow, I went out and I picked a couple to deliberately sort of look at them as opposed to others. And mate, I've got a Valencia orange tree that's got so many new shoots on it. I just can't believe it. I've never seen it with so much growth on it. I just can't wait for the oranges, mate. So it looks like she's a bottler and it's working bloody well here.
So, and you put it down to Swift Grow.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's the only thing that I've changed.
That's the only thing you've done different is put Swift Grow. Did you mulch too? Did you just penetrate with a pitchfork around the drip line so that the Swift Grow gets down?
Well, I've got an irrigation line underneath, so I've got to be a bit careful because a couple of times irrigation lines in, and then you get a carried away with the fork and put a hole in them, mate. So, but it is mulched. I've got we had a tree chopped down, and I kept all of that, but they were mulched. I put a little bit more around them, but that's not an addition. That's just a little bit of a supplement.
Yeah, look, the Swift Grow is working, and that is a harsh red soil you've got in Dubbo, and you've never seen your orange tree do better. See, that's a citrus. It does. Swift Grow works on citrus. It is tomato planting time, folks. Put Swift Grow on your tomatoes. You watch. You'll taste the flavour. You'll see the tomatoes love you for it. It works on lawns. It works on anything. It puts natural bacteria into the soil and it keeps working. It keeps working. It can actually repair and reverse damaged soil. It is environmentally friendly. It's the best stuff I've ever come across. Rod, it's the best stuff you've ever come across, correct?
Certainly is, mate. I'm looking forward to a big crop this year.
You're going to. Swift Grow. You buy four, you get one free. It's for a limited time. Do a deal with your neighbours, with your friends, your family. It's a great Christmas present, but get it into your soil now. It's spring. Your garden will love you for it. SwiftGrow.com.au. If it's green and it grows, you will love Swift Grow. You're listening to The Night Shift on Triple N. Back with more calls for Rod Hanafy after this. Night Shift here on the Triple M Network. Rod Hanafy joins us every Tuesday. Just quickly, Rodney, what did you want to say? Good morning.
Yeah, g'day, Rod. How are you today, mate?
Good, thanks, mate.
It's about your drivers that come over here, right? I'm around the industry. I'm not an actual truck driver. I drive pilot cars. Right.
Yep.
Now I'm out on the highway with wide loads and everything like that. Now we try and call these guys up to, you know, when they want to get around and stuff like that, and they ignore us and push through. You know, why can't they have to do like a UHF course or something like that?
Mate, it's not a bad idea. It's a bit like the caravanners in a way. It's something that they're not used to. Perhaps they don't use it. I see in America they've only just started using UHF radios over CBs. So there's certainly a good idea there to put something forward that we give them that little bit of education and understanding of how the system works, and then hopefully it will work both for us and for them.
Well, yeah, it probably would, because then they sort of understand, you know, what, like us out on the highways, you know.
Yes. That's an excellent idea, mate.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to ask you too, mate, like, as I just said, I'm a pilot car driver. Like, we do wide loads through cities and stuff like that, right? Now, I've been fined for going through a red light. Now, it's the safety of the people around me that I stay behind that load. Now, we've taken numerous fines to court, and they just turn around and say, nah, you've got to deal with it. How can we get around on that?
That sounds, mate, like maybe a job for Highway Advocates, Rod.
Yep.
Certainly, mate. I'd approach them first. Look, we put out a letter to the Police Commissioners of Australia. I've only had three replies. The NT bloke said it's not a problem here, and he's probably right. Both the Queensland and New South Wales one said the law is the problem. They can't really tell us to go easy, even though they have some empathy for the job. And in that situation that you're in, they don't recognise your role and what you are doing. And all you're asking for is a fair go. You're not going to go out and run red lights on your own. So, mate, as you say, you've tried, you've gone through the process, you've sought a review, and they virtually just said, well, we're not interested. I talked to Highway Advocates, and I'm sure that we could find some avenue that they may be able to help.
Look, I tell you what, stay there. Rodney, stay there. Jess is going to get your telephone number. And when I have highway advocates here in the studio with me on Thursday, we'll make you first caller and you can talk to them directly and you can talk to them for free, okay?
Yeah, not a problem.
Can you stay there, Rod? Will you be available at 1 o'clock Sydney or Eastern Standard Time on Thursday?
Yep.
Stay there. We'll make sure you're first caller and you can explain the whole situation to highway advocates and they'll give you their advice, okay?
All right, not a problem.
Stay there, Rodney. Don't go anywhere. Have I got time to talk to Mark? Mark, we'll have to be quick. Mark, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I rang quickly last week about the Victorian vaccine program for truck drivers and, yeah, I was finding it really difficult to book in for my second shot in a red zone clinic and I still can't.
Right, so you've rang them, you've got through on the number, you've told them that you're a truck driver and what, they haven't got any slots?
It's not they haven't got any slots, it's just you can't get a booking in a red zone clinic unless you're a hotel quarantine worker for your second dose.
No, okay. Again, mate, I have these meetings every Wednesday and I raised it last week. We had a bloke say that he was struggling. There was a bloke in Melbourne. I gave him some details. You have rang that 1-800 number and told them that you're a truck driver?
On numerous occasions. So it worked really well for the first dose, but impossible for the second.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, I did pass that message on to that meeting because that meeting is every Wednesday afternoon. I will follow it up and ask them what their response is. Look, another thing, it only came up on Facebook earlier. There's certainly an issue with capacity. They were saying they're struggling for staff in Melbourne because, of course, they're under a great load. And that's where we've suggested to them a site like Barnawatha would be very valuable to us, somewhere you can get off the road, somewhere where you've got the opportunity to get in and out and get your testing done as well. And others have said, why can't they do it? Other states, Queensland, are using trucking sites and truck stops. New South Wales are using one. There's one now right in the little rest area opposite the zoo in Dubbo that's available, I think it's 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. or vice versa. I'll get those hours for next week. But, mate, I will pass it on, and that's all I can do is keep trying for you.
Fantastic, Rod. You do good work.
He's a good man. Thank you, Mark. You have a great day. Drive carefully.
Thank you.
Okay, Rod Hanafy. By the way, your shoulder is improving and you're taking your Nature B 2 every day. I think you've got some new Nature B coming for you.
Yes, mate, and at this stage, at the end of this month, I'll be back on the road. I won't have the new truck yet. It's probably a month away at this stage, but I'll be back on the road at the end of this month. And, yes, I'm looking forward to it in one way. Not with the thing that's going on, but, mate, I'll be able to give you some more on-road stuff and push a bit harder again.
I look forward to that. Now, your question for road users this morning again?
Is, for those overseas drivers, are we giving them a fair go? We understand they may not understand our issues and how we behave. We think that, you know, they've certainly got to feed their family, and we know there's a shortage of drivers. There's a whole other argument about why that is the case. But what can we do to actually help them integrate and to make them aware of how to operate safely on our roads, given that they've come from another country that doesn't have the vehicles or the rules that we do?
Are people from overseas fast-tracked into licences here, though? Because I get call after
Unfortunately,
call.
Unfortunately, they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, some were. That has been reviewed now, and hopefully that's been changed. And again, we're not saying that they should be penalised. We just want them tested to the same standard, and I don't think that's unreasonable.
I don't think it's unreasonable. What if there's a language barrier?
Like anyone coming from overseas, Luke, they've got to be able to understand what the signs mean. We do have international signs now. But, of course, in our industry, as you said, you've seen a logbook. Some people can look at it and know exactly what it means. Mm. Others, and anything that's got 30 pages of instructions in the front is not what you would call simple. So there is an avenue there for some blokes that need help with it. Obviously, that's where highway advocates come in. If you've made a mistake, you shouldn't be penalised for that. But then we need something that's fairer. And, of course, that's what we at National Road Freighters Association aim to do, get heard by the industry, get things improved.
Rod Hanafy is the president of the Road Freighters Association. He joins us every Tuesday. He's a great friend of the program. He's part of the furniture here on the night shift. We love you, Rod. You take care. Drive carefully, mate.
Will do, mate. Safe travelling to all.
Safe travelling to you too, buddy. There he is, Rod Hanafy. 1-333-53 is the telephone number. Are you a driver that's come to Australia from another country? Do you think you've been given a fair go? Rod's after your opinion. Let us know. 1-333-53 is the telephone number. We can talk about it this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. The Night Shift, Triple M.